Today we're celebrating Tinus Esther. Everybody's fasting. And our thoughts, of course, are on Purim. And one of the main mitzvahs, of the many mitzvahs that we have on Purim, are Mishloach Monos Ish L'Reyu, that we have a mitzvah to send food items to our fellow Jews. The Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo, who's known also as the Mechaber, writes the following words: Chayiv l'shloach l'chaveri shtei monos basar. You're supposed to send your friend two presents of meat, oy shalmine oichlim, or of different kinds of foods. And the main idea is it has to be prepared food. It can't be raw. It has to be ready to eat. Not that the person who's going to get it is going to cook it. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk in the Megillas Esther, m'shloach monos ish l're'eyu, that Mordechai and Esther made the rule that everybody should send to each other mishloach monos, they should send two, plural, two presents of food, ish l're'eyu, one person to another. Shtei matonos l'ish echad, two presents to one person. By matonos l'avyoinim, it says you should send presents to the poor. So there it says both are plural. The presents are plural, and the people that you send it to are plural. Because there the mitzvah is that you have to give to two poor people, each one you give one coin. You give a half dollar or a quarter to one, you give a dollar to one, and you give a dollar to the other one. Plural, plural. And as you're taking the $2, and to each of the two aniyim, you're giving one of those dollars. But by mishloach monos, there it's two monos ish l're'eyu, one person to another. There it's 2-1. The Mechaber continues, v'chol hamar b'lishloach l're'eyu meshubach. Whoever increases and gives a lot of different mishloach monos to their friends, that is praiseworthy. And then he says, but im ein loy, what happens if you're poor and the person can't afford to give mishloach monos? So there's a solution. Machlef im chaver, you make an exchange with your friend. Ze shalech leze sudasai, veze shalech leze sudasai. This one sends, Reuven sends to Shimon a suda, a meal for the sudas Purim, and Shimon sends back to Reuven mishloach monos for the meal. So we already see, which we're going to speak about in a moment, that there's a connection between mishloach monos and a suda. Because the Rambam says that you're sending your suda one to another. And thereby, kedei l'kaimu mishloach monos ishra'eyu, that you will send presents back and forth from one person to another. There came after the Rambam, that's Maimonides, there came Rav Moshe Isserlish, who we know as the Ramah. He is the he always comments on the Mechaber, on Rabbi Yosef Karo, and he writes, V'yesh l'shloach monos b'yoyim v'loy b'layla. When are you supposed to send these shloach monos? During the daytime, not tonight, not the night before. Now, what about the following case? If I send mishloach monos to someone and they say, oh, please, I have so much, it's going to go to waste, please take it back. V'im shloach monos l're'eyu, v'hu einoy writes l'kabam, if I send presents to my friend on Purim and he doesn't want to accept them, oy moicheloy, or he says, you know, I'm moichel, I forgive, please take it back, yotza, I fulfill the mitzvah. So the Chasam Sofer comes along and he says that this last din that the Ramah said, that if you send presents to your fellow man on Purim and he forgives, he says, I can't accept it for whatever reason, that you do fulfill the mitzvah. It means you don't, it has technically, if you send two presents to one person, your yotza, you fulfilled the mitzvah. Most people send a lot more. But if you want to do the minimum, you send a small a cookie and you send you know, a little bottle of wine to one person, your yotza to mitzvah. And now, if the person says, I have too much, I don't want to accept it from you, do me a favor, take it back, you can take it back, and you still were yotza to mitzvah, even though you didn't give it to anybody. it's as if he accepted it. So says the Chasam Sofer that this final din that we just said is dependent on the two reasons of the mitzvah of Shlach Malas. There are two reasons. What are the two reasons? So one reason is, as we just saw, that it has to do with the Seuda. That Mordechai and Esther wanted every Jew to have a Seudas Purim. My daughter's in Eretz Yisrael now. She's going to be Mirtzei Hashem in Bnei Brak for the Purim tomorrow. And then in Yerushalayim for the next day. Because right. In Eretz Yisrael, you can have 2 days Purim. Somebody just emailed me from Eretz Yisrael. He said, Purim here is a whole week. And you have Shusha Purim, you have Tainus Est. It goes for a whole week. But the point is that every person always, where are you going to be for the Purim Suda? So one of the focal points of the whole day of Purim is the Suda. Since the tragedy of Purim, the reason the Jews were going to get punished had to do that they had pleasure from the Suda of Achashverosh, and the opposite, the Yeshua, the salvation came because of the Suda that Esther invited Haman and Achashverosh together, and as a result, Haman was killed there, and the Jews were saved. So since everything had to do with the Suda, and another word for Suda is Mishteh. Mishteh means what you drink, because at a Suda, that's where people drink. And that's why there's one of the reasons that a person should not get drunk. The OU has a very strong campaign against people actually getting drunk, and of course sometimes people endanger their health and they drink the wrong things. But the Rambam says a person should drink that he should fall asleep. If you fall asleep through drinking, you fulfill the mitzvah. But the reason there's so much emphasis on wine is because there was the suit of Haman and at Esther's house with Achashverosh that all came with the wine, the mishteh. That's why we relive that by having our own suda with wine. So to make sure that every Jew has a Sudas Purim, there's a mitzvah for me to send to them meat and cake and bread or whatever we send in order that they have food to eat for the suda. So if that's the reason, so if the person says to me, please keep it, I have more than enough, I didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Because I am given a mitzvah, I have to make sure to help another Jew have the suda. If he has it without me and he doesn't accept what I'm giving him, then I have to find somebody else to give it to. He didn't accept it. But there's a second reason for the mitzvah of Shlach Manas. The second reason is because Haman of Russia said about the Jews that Am Mefuzar Mefora, they are a nation that is divided and dispersed, and the simple pshat is that they are dispersed all over your kingdom of 127 lands. Achashverosh ruled over 127 lands, and the Jews were all over. But Haman, the Chasam Sofer tells us there's one added word which we find, I believe it's in a Medrash, or in the Sefer Lechadodi, the one who wrote the Lechadodi, he wrote a Pirish on Megillas Esther, and the name of the Pirish is Monos Halevi. So he wrote, Rab Shlomo Alkavitz wrote one extra word, Am Mefuzer Meforad B'machlokas. It's not that just that they live in different countries, but they are divided in arguments. There's no unity of the Jewish people. So to counter, that was one of Haman's accusations against the Jewish people, to counter that, we give presents to each other, and that creates an atmosphere of achva v'reus, of love and of friendship, of brotherhood, amongst the whole Jewish people. And that's why I mentioned last year that it's perhaps a greater mitzvah to give Mishloach Manos to people that you don't like so much. Most people give Mishloach Manos to people they like. The whole idea, according to this Sefer, is to increase friendship in Klal Yisrael. So, yes, it's good to, of course, strengthen the friendships you have with your friends. but more important with people that you're not so friendly with, by saying sending Mishloach Manos, that will increase the friendship. But if that is the reason for the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, to counter Haman's accusation that we're a nation full of arguments, machlokes, so then if I send you a present and you don't need it, and you say, no, thank you, but I have increased the friendship. Because it's the thought, as the expression is, it's the thought that counts. And as I showed you that I'm trying to be friendly with you, I'm trying to give you a present. You don't need it, but you still feel good that you wanted to give me something. So that when the Ramah says that if you didn't accept it, the other person fulfills the mitzvah, that is because the Ramah is going with the opinion that the main reason for the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos is to increase friendship, and I increased friendship even though you didn't accept it. Now, there is another question concerning Mishloach Manos. What happens if I give Mishloach Manos to a rich person? Do I fulfill the mitzvah? Or is it only to a poor person? So it would seem that it depends on these two reasons again. If my reason is because I have to give him something for a meal, a rich person usually, it could happen, but usually a rich person, his freezer and his refrigerator is full of delicious foods. He doesn't need your extra hamantaschen. So according to that, if you give to a rich person, you really didn't fulfill. If the reason is because you have to provide for a suda, this person has enough. He doesn't need it. But if it's for an ani, it makes sense. This ani doesn't have food to eat. You're giving him something to make sure that he has a suda spor. But if the reason is friendship, then we could say that this friendship to a rich person also. I'm showing you, I'm buying you a shloach manos, I'm bringing it to you, I'm sending it to you. That increases friendship even with a rich person. In fact, one of the commentaries, the Ritva, says on this mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, he says, Mishloach Manos Ishrei, Beis Manos, as we mentioned, two presents, La'adam Echad, says the Ritva, Klomer, what does this mean? L're'eyu, Ish L're'eyu, what person? Ha'ashir. The rich man. According to Ritva, specifically you should give it to a rich man. It would seem from the Ritva, you shouldn't even give it to a poor person. Why is that? What I want to suggest, I wrote this in the Sefer that I authored, Oir HaOirois, that perhaps since the Chazal made a takana of Matanos Lavyoinim, to give money to poor people, so every Jew who gives Matanos Lavyoinim, you are already increasing friendship with the poor people. They're your friends because you're giving them all money on Purim. The din is, on Purim is the only day in the year that any person who stretches out his hand and wants to get staka, you have to give it to him. The rest of the year, you don't have to. If this person doesn't look straight, you have suspicion that maybe he's not going for a legitimate reason, you have a right not to give him. And in fact, the Gemara tells us that the Ramoyim, though we unfortunately know that there are cheaters, there are people who don't need the money, they go around, they use it as a profession to become rich, and they really are not needy people. So they save us, otherwise we would get punished on the Yom Din, on the Day of Judgment. Hashem will say to us, why didn't you give this poor person? And this person was really poor. He was a real needy person. That's why there's many communities. Baltimore, started it, where they list on a sheet. They check off, is this person very needy? Is he medium needy? I mean, but they investigate the person's needs. You don't have time to investigate. They investigate it for you. And then you feel secure, more secure, that when you give the money. But the Gemara tells us that if it wouldn't be for the cheaters, we, Chas Hashem, would get punished, because why didn't we give the ani? This man was ani. Why didn't you give him? You have an answer, because I thought he was not real. And then Hashem will say, okay, how were you to know that he was a real ani? But let's say every person who would come to us would be real, there would be no ramoim, then every time we wouldn't give a poor person, Hashem would say, how could you have to give him something? You can't afford to give him a large amount. Give him a dollar or $2. Give him something. Try to help him. But now that there are Ramoyim, we are potter. Hashem is not upset at us why we didn't help Donnie. That's a whole year round. On Purim, the din is, whoever stretches out his hand for tzedakah, you are mechuyev to give to that person. So to the aniyim, we've already made friendship. They love us on Purim. We're giving to every ani, we're giving money. But the ashirim, they didn't get anything from us. So therefore, the ritva could be, I'm suggesting, that the Chazal said, Bedafke, you know who you give the money to. Not the money, you know who you give the shlachmanis to. That you should give to Asher. So this way, every Jew is being friendly to the Aniyim, and he's also being friendly to the Asherim. Many times we're not friendly to Asherim, we're jealous of them. They have the fancy car and the beautiful house, we don't have it. So we look at them with a bad eye. So on Purim, there's a mitzvah, show your friendship even to that person who you shouldn't be jealous of, but maybe you are a whole year round, you don't have such good feelings to them, increase your friendship with them and give them shlach manos. So it comes out that according to this, we have three opinions. One, the first opinion is that shlach manos you should give to a poor person because he needs it for his suda. The rich man doesn't need it. The second opinion says you can give it to both. Give it to an ani, also give it to an usher. And then we had a ritva. His opinion is that maybe the mitzvah shlachmanis is specifically to a rich person. Because since you already did friendship with the poor through matanis avyainim, also you should be do friendly to the rich person through shlachmanis. If this is true, if the mitzvah is only to a rich person, it would answer another question. The one of this forum has a question. What happens if you gave Mishloach Manos and Matanis Avyonim to the same person? What does that mean? You have two aniyim in front of you. To one ani you give a dollar. Now, are you Yotze Matanis Avyonim? No. Because Matanis Avyonim, you must give a minimum of $1 to two. Plural, we said. You have to give $2 to two people. Each one gets one. So if you only gave to one, you're not Yotze. So then what did I do? Then I took, let's say, some food. And the Rambam tells us specifically that when you give Matanis Levyoinim, usually we give money. But if you gave someone a steak, the steak is worth whatever amount, the $5, $10, whatever it's worth, that's also money. And as the rule is Shavek Kesef, Kekesef, something that's worth money is equal to money. So if I say to one ani, I gave a dollar, he went on his way. Fine. Now comes the second ani. The second ani, I gave a $7 steak. The question is, could I, and I also gave him some wine. Because by shlachmanis, you have to give two presents to one person. The question is now, could I do two mitzvahs at the same time? When I gave the second ani, the steak and the wine, so I gave him shlachmanis, but at the same time it's worth money, and I could be yotze with that, maybe the mitzvah of matanis levyanim also. I'll do both at the same time. That's a question. But according to what we said from the ritva, that mishloach manis you could only give to a rich person, then we have an answer to the question. You can't do this. When you gave him the shlachmanis, when you gave him shlachmanis, you only fulfilled matanis levyanim, according to this. You didn't fulfill shlachmanis, because shlachmanis is only to, according to this opinion, to a rich man. So according to that, you would not be able to do two mitzvahs at the same time. Anyway, out of our whole discussion, we know that there are many mitzvahs on Purim. We have Sudas Purim, we have reading the Megillah in the daytime and at nighttime, we have Matanis Levyainim, we have Mishloach Manos. If a person, let's say he doesn't have enough money for all these mitzvahs, which one should he choose? Or which one is the one he should invest most of his money? Should he have elaborate Suda? Or should he give a lot of Matanis Avyoinim or Mishloach Manos? Which one should he do? Says the Rambam, and I'm just thinking as I'm speaking, that from this Rambam it might also seem that Mishloach Manis you give to a rich person, and Matanis Avyanim, of course, you give to a poor person. Why? Because the Rambam says, Mutav la'adam laharbois b'matanis avyoinim. It is better for a person to give presents to the poor, either money or, as we said, you can also give food items to him also. More important, laharbois b'sudasa, rather than spending a lot of money on your own suda. U'bishloyach manas l'reyav, or to send presents to your mishlachmanis to your friends. So maybe if you're giving shlachmanis to poor people also, why is matanis avyoinim more important than mishlachmanis? So it would seem maybe the Rambam is also learning mishlachmanis you can give to a rich person. It could either you have to give it to a rich person, or you could decide, I have 10 shlachmanis, I'm going to give all my shlachmanis to rich people. Your yotzer the mitzvah, according to most opinions. So the Rambam says, what's the mitzvah I should focus on? The mitzvah I should focus on is matanos l'avyonim. Why? She'ein sham simcha gedoyla u'mefo'ara. The greatest simcha, a happiness on Purim is, el l'sameyach lev aniyim v'yisoymim, v'almonis v'gerim. All the people that are downtrodden, the poor people, the orphans, the widows, the strangers, the gerim, those are the ones that you should make happy on Purim. Shamesameach levom lolum alolu, a person who makes happy, who makes rejoice these unfortunate souls, dom elishchina, that person is like Hashem. Shenemar, you know what it says about Hashem? Lahachyos ruach shvelim, that Hashem gives life to the spirit of those who are low. Ulahachyos lev nitkoim, and he livens, he revives the heart of those that are pushed down. So the greatest mitzvah on Purim is when that poor person comes to your door and asks for charity. That is the greatest mitzvah, more than your suda and more than sending your shlachmanis. That is the biggest mitzvah. So we should all remember that on Purim. I just want to conclude with a thought. We had this past week, of course, was the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah. Moshe Rabbeinu was born and he died on Zion Adar, on the 7th of Adar. So the Gemara tells us in Masechta Megillah that when Haman made the lottery on what month and what day would be the best time to kill the Jews, he was very happy because the lottery came out on the month of Adar. And Haman said, Nafali Pur b'yerech shemes by Moshe. The word Purim comes from Pur. Pur is a lottery. The lottery fell out in the month that Moshe died. So he was happy because he took this to mean that Adar is a very good month for all the Goyim, all the anti-Semites, because their greatest leader died during Adar, says the Gemara. V'loy hoya yodeya, Moshe, Haman did not know, shebeshiva ba'adar mace, that Moshe died on the 7th of Adar, ubeshiva ba'adar noilad, and that Moshe was also born on the 7th of Adar. That's what the Gemara says. So the question on this Gemara, there's two questions. Question number one is, if Haman was able to know when Moshe died, why couldn't Haman for sure had a, like every government has a research group, a think tank. So why couldn't his research group, his think tank, make an investigation and find out if they asked any Jew would know when Moshe was born. So what does it mean? They knew when he died, but they didn't know that he was born. It would seem that it would be very easy for them to find out when Moshe was born. So apparently the Gemara here means something deeper. And a second question, let's say Haman would know that Moshe was born on the 7th of Adar. It would seem, according to the Gemara, that then he wouldn't be so happy. It was, right? Because he thought Moshe died. He didn't know when Moshe was born. And if he would know, he wouldn't be so happy. Why not? But the last thing that happened in Moshe's life is he died. in Ador. So it's still a good sign. So what if he was born? The Gemara seems that if he would have known that he's born, his happiness would not be so complete. Why not? The fact that I see that in Ador the Jewish leader died, that's a sign to me. It's a good sign that we can do trouble to the Jewish people. So I heard an answer from my Rashiva, Rav Yaakov Moshe Kalevsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He said this answer in the name of Rav Rafal Hamburger. Rav Rafal Hamburger was a great gadol in Europe, and he said the following. Of course Haman knew when Moshe was born, certainly. But what Haman didn't know is the following. He thought that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he died, it's like any Gentile dying. In other words, a person leaves this world. After he leaves this world, he has no effect on this world. What he didn't know is that when a great gadol dies, for example, Rav Moshe Feinstein, who somebody pointed out, it's exactly 20 years. Rav Moshe Feinstein was, I think... Rav Moshe Feinstein, I think, was Zion Ador. I think he died in the month of Ador. I forgot exactly which. I think Tinus Esther. Tinus Esther, right. That's today. So today is Tavshin Samach Vav. And in Tavshin Mem Vav, 5746, exactly 20 years ago in English, it's 1986. Now is 2006, exactly 20 years ago today, on Tinus Esther, right? His Leviah was on Tinus Esther. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was considered the greatest in his time, but he even became greater after his death. Chazal say that when you say over a Dvar Torah from someone who passed away, Sfas of Dovavos Bekever, his lips move in the grave. Rav Moshe Feinstein became even more known after he passed away. His Sefer, his magnum opus, the Igris Moshe, the letters of Moshe, which were learnt all over the world. So after he passed away, people quoted him even more than they did when he was alive. So by a great giant amongst the Jewish people, when he dies, that's when he's born. That's what the Gemara means. Haman didn't realize when Moshe died, that was the very same day that he was born. Not speaking about the day that he was actually born, 120 years earlier. It means that by Jewish people, when their leader dies, Haman didn't know the secret of the Jewish people, that when their leader dies, it's not, of course we're sad that he left us, we don't see him anymore. But in a way, we don't look at it as such a terrible day, because we know that all of his learning will even be intensified after he dies. That's what Haman didn't know. Haman didn't know that on the day that Moshe died, that was the very same day that Moshe, so to speak, he began to live again. He began to be born again, because his learning, his teachings continued even after his death. So you thought, Haman, that you have such a great day, that Moshe Rabbeinu died. Moshe's influence was even greater after he died than during his lifetime. So we don't take that as a day that's a bad day for the Jewish people. That's why we say every time a great God goes away, a yahrzeit, like today, the yahrzeit of Moshe Feinstein, we celebrate. It's a great thing, and we're sure that Rav Moshe Feinstein in heaven is being a Melech Yosher. He's protecting the Jewish people, and we pray that in fact he's going in front of Hashem. We live in very dangerous times now with Iran on the verge of getting a nuclear bomb. So everybody has to realize what dangerous times we live in, and we certainly need the help of Rav Moshe Feinstein in heaven to be mispalel for us in front of Hashem, that Hashem should protect the Jewish people. And in fact, today, Rav Moshe Feinstein's yahrzeit, it should be a Melech Yosher for all of Klal Yisrael, and all of us should have a Simchas Purim, a Freilichim Purim, and we should be able to do all the mitzvahs as we're supposed to do.